As mentioned several times, fruitfulness on the front line is what we're about. It's produced by London Institute of Contemporary Christianity. And this morning is our second in the series, and so we're going to be looking at the second of those six M's that you can see up on the screen, and that is modeling godly character. It's time perhaps now to open our Bibles again, back at the passage that Chung read for us at the start of the service. It's Galatians 5, 13 to 26. If you'd like a church Bible and you haven't got one, the stewards are active and can get you one. It's on page 1127 of the church Bibles. It will be coming up on the screen as well, but you may want to have it open in front of you. And this is a passage with the subheading of Life by the Spirit. We're just going to read it through together again now. Galatians 5, 13 to 26. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Okay. So there they are, the fruit of the Spirit, highlighted there in the passage up on the screen. Love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So hands up if you've already got this, so to speak, if you already display all of these in your life all of the time. Not a hand. That's a shame, because I was hoping at this point we'd all just be able to go home and get Sunday lunch on and get on with living our lives for the rest of the week in the most perfectly fruitful fashion possible. But not to be, it seems. So let's try this one. Hands up if you think God wants us to beat ourselves up that we aren't already perfect in each of these areas. Still no hands. Good, I agree with that as well. But I can tell you're dying to get involved. So here's a third question for us. Hands up if you think this is a list which describes the traits, the character traits, and the qualities that God himself has and that he wants us to cultivate in our lives too by means of his Spirit working in us. Good man. First hand up down there. Amen. We're all agreed on that. Now, in a moment, we're going to spend some time thinking about this passage in terms of us and our front lines. But before we do that, let's remember that this text, relevant though it is to us today, was originally written to churches in the Roman province of Galatia, which is modern-day Turkey, back in the first century AD. And the issue for these churches to whom this letter was originally written was that there were some Jewish Christians of the time who were telling them that non-Jewish converts to Christianity still needed to follow the Old Testament laws and practices, including circumcision, in order to be proper Christians. And so Paul writes to speak out against this and to emphasize the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace, which says that people are made right with Christ, not by following certain customs or laws, but through faith alone. And that Christ offers a new life of freedom, a life with the power of the Holy Spirit working inside the believer. Because that's the essence of this passage. These characteristics that we see listed on the screen aren't simply moral disciplines that are brought about by our own human effort. But they serve as evidence of life in the Spirit, a life where we're free, free from the constraints of the law, and free to be the people who God made us to be. Now, it might seem obvious to us that the fruit of the Spirit is good, and that these are qualities that we should want to display in our everyday lives. But not all of Paul's original readers would necessarily have seen them in this way, because this society was typically one where it was everyone for themselves, where only the strongest survived. And so this vision of community values was radically different from the values of the surrounding culture in which the Galatian Christians were living. And Paul's letter is therefore a call to present a radically different vision of what it meant to be human. Is our society today so different from that of first century Galatia in this respect? Is the call to display the fruit of the Spirit any less radical today than it was then? I think probably not. And so when we display this fruit, when people see it in our lives, not that we're perfect, but when they see examples of it, it often presents them with a challenge and causes them to sit up and to take notice. So what is the problem? Because even if we as Christians can't all say, yes, this fruit of the Spirit is perfectly demonstrated in me and in my life, why is that? Well, the passage tells us that the answer to that is sin. Because we are all human, we are all flesh and blood. And the flesh, as Paul calls it, in other words, our sinful human nature, has its own desires and behaviors which are in conflict with the Spirit-filled human nature that God intends for us. Some of these sinful desires or acts or attitudes are listed here. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies. It's quite a list, isn't it? And you may or may not recognize some of these in your own life. You may perhaps more easily recognize other sins, such as pride, or self-centeredness, or jealousy. Because if I'm honest, I do recognize those in my life at times. And whilst I don't believe that God wants me to beat myself up or become enslaved by guilt over my failures and my lack of perfection, I do believe that that's why I need Jesus and his offer of grace and of forgiveness. It's not in the passage that we've read today, but back at the start of the chapter of Galatians 5, verse 1 says this: "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." My human nature, my desires, my wrongdoing, my sin, my attempts even to earn my own salvation risk making me a slave. But Jesus Christ says, no, that is not the life I have for you. That's not the life my Spirit gives you. I am the one who brings freedom. God's word tells us that Jesus' death on the cross was an all-sufficient act of love and of grace that has dealt with our sin once and for all, and which, despite our continued failings, releases us from slavery to sin. But that doesn't automatically mean that life is always rosy, that things are always easy, or that we don't continue to do things wrong. Christ's death and resurrection has already ensured victory over sin and death, but freedom isn't necessarily achieved overnight. Freedom can be a struggle. Freedom sometimes is a process. And we continue to need the Holy Spirit's help, and we need to rely on him rather than our own human effort in order to see our sin replaced by God's fruit. Verse 16 of our passage tells us we need to walk in the Spirit. Verse 18 refers to being led by the Spirit. Verse 25 says that if we live by the Spirit, we need to keep in step with the Spirit. What does this mean? Well, for me, I know it means one of the things I find most difficult to do, which is to slow down. To slow down and to listen to the instruction of Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know I am God. It means reflecting and praying. It means listening. It means allowing the Holy Spirit to transform my attitude, even in the most challenging of circumstances. God's word tells us to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, all our souls, all our minds, and all our strength. And it promises that as we do this, his Holy Spirit works in us to transform us, heart, soul, body, and mind. And to make us new. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. Amen. So as we draw to a close with our talk, as we think about our front lines, as we seek to be followers of Jesus in the places where he has put us, as we seek to point other people towards him, Let's recognize from the start that we aren't always going to get things right. And let's not be negative about this, but let's keep coming back to Jesus. Keep asking for his forgiveness and for more of his Spirit to work in us and through us. Because I don't know about you, but quite often I can get to the end of a day and feel that I've done little or that little has been achieved for God's kingdom. But let's trust as we seek to live our lives by the Spirit that he is at work in us, that people will notice a difference in us, even amidst the frustrations and challenges as well as the joys of life. Let's be prayerfully passionate people. Let's not be disappointed if we think there appears to be no obvious fruit as a result, because being fruitful on our front lines isn't necessarily just about the fruit we think we can see and can pick or easily quantify. It's largely about ourselves being open to the Holy Spirit's prompting, about keeping it simple and loving our neighbor through our attitudes, words, and behavior towards them. I leave you with some words from the late Billy Graham, passionate follower of Jesus, evangelist, one of the modern day heroes of the faith. He said, "It is the Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to judge, and my job to love." Life by the Spirit. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. May we be people of faith. May we be people set free by the Spirit. May we be people who model godly character. May the fruit of the Spirit be demonstrated in our lives. And may we be people who receive Christ's love and who reflect Christ's love to others. Amen.